speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
It's always our pleasure to greet each one with the gospel of Christ. It is our greatest desire to help people learn and understand that which will save their soul and help them to go to heaven at last. I believe we should all be ready and willing to study the Bible. I certainly know and understand that it is the Word of God, and I believe you believe the same. And the instructions of Proverbs 23:23 is that we are to buy the truth and sell it not. In the marketplace of the world, there are many religions, and there is much that can be bought, but it may cost you eternity if you buy the wrong thing. We must know the truth. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. And of course, in John 17:17, when he prayed, he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." We've been discussing thus far this week what it means to be a born-again Christian. And certainly it's an important subject. It is one that is discussed a great deal, and many people have an interest in it. We have learned that to be born again means to be a Christian, and to the same thing causes us to enter into the church of our Lord. But you know, oftentimes people don't see it that way, even though that's the way the Bible teaches it. And just to tell a person that he must be born again is not giving that person very much information. Jesus did not stop with that statement. When he said to Nicodemus in John 3:3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven," he then was asked by Nicodemus, "How can a man, when he is old, be born again from his mother's womb?" And Jesus said, "Verily, verily," verse 5, "I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." So we learn here, had Jesus stopped with the statement that you must be born again and not described to Nicodemus what it meant to be born again, Nicodemus would have had excuse to continue in Judaism with a clear conscience. Many today believe that we have been told that a person everything pertaining to salvation, and that we have told this person everything when we tell them you must be born again. Well, what does it mean to be born again, though? Unless we explain that to people, they will never know the completeness of the answer found in the Word of God. On one occasion, the apostles were engaged in strife over who should be the greatest in the kingdom of God. You remember that? Matthew 18:1. "And Jesus called a little child unto them, and sat that child in the midst of them, and said, Except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 18:3. Well, to convert simply means, as we've noted already, to change. Or to be converted is to be changed. But changed with what way? Changed, of course, in regards to our view of politics? No. Of economics? No. Changed in regards to our method of farming? No. No, our Lord had none of these things in mind when he told the apostles they must be converted to enter the kingdom. Rather, he was telling them that unless they were changed in the most basic and fundamental way, changed in their spirit, they could not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, conversion is a process in which the spirit is changed in a most basic way, and the result is a changed life. All of this, of course, is involved in conversion. And it is also involved in being born again, which means the same thing, for the two are equivalent terms. You remember, my friends, that when Paul wrote to the Colossian Christians, he reminded them that they, as well as he, were in the kingdom. He said in Colossians 1:13, "Who hath delivered us out of the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." Notice the term "translated us into the kingdom." No one is in the kingdom except God has translated him into it. It doesn't matter how much we may say, how sincere we may be, or what our feeling may be, unless God translates us into the kingdom, we're not there. But what is this translation which one undergoes? Well, the Greek word from which the word "translated" comes means to change or to remove. And the meaning here is obvious. God delivers one from Satan's kingdom and changes that one into the kingdom of heaven, or removes one out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of heaven. Thus, one who is born into the kingdom is also translated into the kingdom or converted into the kingdom. But those in the church of our Lord are also in the kingdom of our Lord, because these are one and the same institutions. You remember the Apostle John, writing to the seven churches of Asia, said in Revelation 1:9, "I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom." Therefore, what puts one into the church also puts one into the kingdom. Now, God adds to the church, Acts 2:47, as we've learned. But at whatever point God adds to the church, we need to be sure that we know that point. At that point, God translates men into the kingdom. What is that point? Since God only can add one to the church who is saved, and to be saved is equivalent to being born again, whatever it is, or whatever point it is that one is saved at that point, one is born again. Well, what conclusion, my friends, if we arrived at thus far? We notice that to be born again is equivalent to being converted, being translated into the kingdom, being saved from our sins. Therefore, when we agree upon what it means to be converted and translated into the kingdom and saved from our past sins, then we can certainly and will agree upon what it means to be born again. When two things equal the same thing, they equal each other. Every logician knows that. And thus, all these practices being equal to the same thing are equal to each other. Conversion is a process which includes a change of the spirit of man as well as a change of the state of man. Conversion is not completed in the biblical sense until man is brought into a different state, into a different relationship, in other words, with God. Faith, of course, as we know, changes the heart, and it is necessary that our hearts be changed if we don't love the Lord and love the Word of God and love the church of our Lord. Faith changes the heart. That is, it changes one's disposition toward all, and all things are changed by his faith. But life is changed by repentance. One's love for sin is changed by faith, but the practice of sin is changed by repentance. That's when we make the turn, and we die to the love and the practice of sin, ready to be changed in our state or relationship from the world unto the kingdom of heaven. But what changes the state or relationship of man with God? Well, one is baptized into Christ. He said we're all made the children of God, Galatians 3:26-27, by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male nor female. But we're all one man in Christ, and if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So in Colossians 1:13, when he said he translated us delivered us out of the power of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Thus the state of man is changed when he is baptized into this new relationship. Do you remember the words of our Lord after his death, burial, and resurrection? In Matthew 28:18-20, he said, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." So to be translated into the kingdom, Colossians 1:13, as it teaches, is an emphasis upon the work of God in praising him for his mercy and his grace. It does not, however, distract in any way from man's responsibilities in the change which takes place. No one who believes in Christ will affirm that this change takes place before faith and repentance, thus admitting that there is something on the part of man to be done. But Paul is merely placing an emphasis on God's part in the matter. When we, through hearing and believing and repenting and confessing and being baptized, have submitted ourselves to God for his salvation, then God's part is to save. Jesus said again in Mark 16:15-16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He, and only he we might add, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So being saved from past sins in no way reflects against an activity of man in the matter. Saul of Tarsus was told in Acts 22:16, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." The Apostle Peter declared, 1 Peter 3:21, "The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So regardless of how one may feel about the matter, or what one may think about it, if one is saved from past sins, it is because God saved him. And God's Word tells us plainly when that occurs. There is no more merit in the act of baptism than there is in the act of believing or repentance, by which man could demand God to save him. But God has required these conditions, my friends, for man to do, in order that he may be saved. And in his Word we are told very plainly at what point God saves. Would you like to examine those scriptures? In Acts 2:38, look at it closely. Peter said to those murderers of the Lord on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the Church of Christ, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now, when did remission of sins come? After baptism. Romans 6:3-5, are ye ignorant, brethren? That is, many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised through the glory of the Father, so also we should be raised to walk in newness of life. Now, when did forgiveness take place and newness of life come? Well, it was after baptism, wasn't it? Let's be honest with the Scriptures, my friends. Romans 6, beginning verse 16 again. Paul said, know ye not, or don't you know, that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, that whereas ye were the servants of sin, ye obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you, and being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. When did they become the servants of righteousness? Will you say when they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, the form of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, which Paul spoke of in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. We are buried with him, we are raised with him, and to walk in newness of life. Well, in view of all of this, my friends, we now look again at the statement of Jesus to Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word except means if and only if. And that really makes this statement strong, doesn't it? If and only if a man is born again, can he see the kingdom of God? Because being born again equals being converted, or translated, or being saved. We can as easily say that except a man be converted, he'll not be saved from his sins. Or except a man be saved from his past sins, he cannot be in the kingdom. He will not enter the kingdom. We can as easily say from the Scriptures, except a man in genuine faith repents of sin and is baptized into Christ, he will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, it's not because we desire this one way or another, but this is our Bible, my friends. This is the Word of God. Let us buy the truth and sell it not. Have you ever submitted to God's will in faith, in doing the will without question? And have you repented of the sins of your life? Have you confessed with your mouth Jesus as Lord and been buried under the liquid grave of baptism that you may also be raised to walk in newness of life? If not, my friends, until then, you cannot enter God's kingdom because one must be born of the will of God, John 1:13, in order to enter the kingdom. We plead with you prayerfully to consider your ways in view of the teaching of God's will. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.